We have faith in God who is invisible. Of course, Jesus Christ, we've been talking about him. He is a perfect representation, the perfect manifestation of God. But when we cross that strand and reach that strand, faith will become sight. Amen? And faith will have the victory there. Until then, you know, we are to live and make our way in this world, and relationships are part of our making our way. And we're talking about relationships God's way on Sunday nights. The one another's of the Bible is how they're described to us here in the New Testament. And the one another that we're going to discuss tonight, we'll see it from Ephesians 5 and 1 Peter 5. As I've called it, I've called this sermon frequently misunderstood. Because this particular one another quite often is. It's just what happens a lot. Yeah. As a preacher, anybody who spends their life talking in front of other in front of other people, whether it's as a preacher or any kind of capacity, but especially as a preacher, you always run the risk of being misunderstood. I've come to discover. I surrendered to preach, early in 1997, the date's a little fuzzy, but as early in 1997, surrendered to preach, joined Brother Sparks' staff in 1999, and I've been blessed by God to have been in full-time ministry ever since then, full-time as far as ministry responsibilities. Some of that time I was bivocational, but just to throw this in there, don't ever let somebody tell you that there are full-time churches and part-time churches. If you're a pastor, it's full-time. I don't care if you're pastoring 10 people or 150 people. You understand that? And I told Brother Hurst, who pastors Freedom School Baptist Church a while back, I met him for the first time a while back, and I said, bivocational pastors are some of my heroes. Because everything's still the same, except you're punching in and punching out every day. And I've had some experience with that. But I've understood that every time I open my mouth, I risk the chance of being misunderstood. Message sent isn't always message received. It depends on how you listen. It depends on how I speak, obviously, but it depends on how you listen. It depends on what kind of background that you have. You know, in your family, when somebody said this, it meant X, whereas in my family, you'd say this, and it meant something else. Sometimes I think that if people would ever go into our family gatherings, you'd think that we didn't care for each other. It's just the way that we sometimes, especially when we're trying to prove a point, can get carried away. And things are always, you always risk the opportunity of being misunderstood. The responsibility lies with the speaker to make sure it be as clear as possible. But the responsibility also lies with the hearer. I mean, after all, Scripture does say, don't be dull hearers, right? In the book of Hebrews. Don't be dull of hearing. And that's not giving preachers an out. You know, preachers aren't supposed to be dull either. But I understand that when I preach, every one of you have come here, and who knows what you've left. This was going on, that was being said at home, this was your focus is here, you're staring at this. Some of you are tired, and right now some of you are just, what did he say? What did he say? And that goes on. And sometimes it goes on in the flow. So you're listening at first, and then kind of get bored with me, then I lose you, and then I pick you back up. But when that happens, you don't always... It's kind of hard to get the whole message because you zoned out somewhere along the line. And I can contribute to that. I like to have fun. I like to mix it up. I like to pick my cup up. And some of you, bless your hearts, you just melt down after I do that. And it's hard. I don't get you back until the next week. And that happened this morning, as a matter of fact. I'm not... This is a prime example. Here I am preaching on something that's frequently misunderstood, and this morning I provide a perfect example of that. I was talking about the Kentucky long rifle. I was trying to pump up Kentucky, and it just, you know, people were applauding. During the applause, I'm going to take a drink of water. And then everybody interprets that as, oh, he's rubbing it in. He's rubbing it in. And frequently you're misunderstood. Well, this one another is frequently misunderstood. And I think perhaps it's not only is it the most often misunderstood, but it's the most often misapplied and abused one another. And we'll find it. Are you there in both passages, Ephesians 5 and 1 Peter 5? Jenny is, so I know she's going to be there. She'll be with me. But Ephesians 5:21 and then 1 Peter 5:5. Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And then 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you, be submissive, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So that's our one another for tonight, is submit one to another. And if we are to have and enjoy relationships God's way, then that's what we have to do. We have to submit one to another. And submission is not a popular topic. I think because it is generally thought to either be negative, or it's either thought of in negative terms or in limited terms. That's why it's not so popular. So negative in this sense. Submission is often viewed as only what the weaker person does to the stronger person. I mean, if I'm stronger, I don't need to submit because I'm stronger, and you got to submit, and I'll pave the way. And so there's a negative viewing there, that only the weak submit and the strong lead. And then the other reason why it's not very popular is because we look at it in a limited term also. And here's what I mean by limited, especially if you've grown up in church world. Now, I discovered America to a family that was not church going or involved in Christianity at all. But my dad got saved when I was really young. And so from the time I was 8, I've been a part of what I call church world. And here is where submitting one to another can become very limited in scope in church world, because many people, unfortunately, in church world can think that submission is only what a wife does to her husband. Just submits, and that's her attitude, her actions, and all that is submit. So submission is what weak people do to strong people, or it's what a wife does to her husband, period. And I'm telling you, you should get away with that period. And in fact, you should erase that whole sentence, because that kind of thinking, that negative and limited thinking about submission, is wrong. Amen. It's wrong. The teaching on submission, the idea that we are to submit one to another, is completely biblical. I'm going to give you three phrases that start with an adverb tonight, and our title does as well. How about that? But it's completely biblical. It's a completely biblical attitude and pattern of conduct, submitting one to another, not just a weak person to a strong or a wife to a husband. And the idea of submission is, it is not a concept, and it is not a word that's exclusively used in those negative or limited manners that I've described. Now, it's true that Scripture repeatedly refers to wives being subject to their own husbands, but husbands are also, listen to me, men, husbands are also called to be in submission. That was an amen spot. I was even quiet for a little while waiting for it, and I didn't get it. Frequently misunderstood. You see what I'm saying? Submission, however, is characteristic of joyful, healthy relationships. You're in Ephesians chapter 5, or if you're not, go ahead and flip back over there and hold your place in 1 Peter 5. I'm going to walk through a couple of these passages. Now, I don't know how familiar you are with the book of Ephesians. Actually, Ephesians is kind of like a corollary with Colossians. Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon are all called prison epistles. I strongly believe, I think the evidence is there, that all four of those letters were generally written about the same time by Paul from the same place, his Roman jail cell, or his under house arrest. Ephesians and Colossians are very similar in the scope and in the topic. There are obviously differences. Ephesians has a lot of focus on the body of Christ, whereas Colossians, as we've seen in our two sermons from that book, is a focus on the head of the body. But they both Ephesians and Colossians deal at length with relationships. We won't get to that for a while because it's at the end of Colossians, just like it's towards the end of Ephesians. But in Ephesians chapter 5, where you have the whole husband and wife relationship teaching, it is prefaced by Jesus, by Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, telling us to be, in verse 14, wake up. You know, wake up. And then verse 15, be diligent, be circumspect. Have situational awareness is what circumspect means. We don't bust out the word circumspect in our language every day in 21st century America and in Kentucky. But it means to be aware of your situation and walk with awareness, not as a foolish person, but as a wise person. Take advantage, redeem the time. Don't waste time because time is slipping away and it's evil to not take advantage of your time. Don't be unwise, but be understanding. Be wise to what the will of the Lord is. So the will of the Lord is something that we can understand. It's not something that we have to find with a decoder ring. We don't have to go. We don't have to employ mystics or some type of rigid formulas like we talked about briefly this morning from Colossians and like we'll discuss more when we get to chapter 2. But we just need to understand God's word. And so what does, and he gives us an example in verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. This is not teaching us about alcohol, but it does kind of on the way say that we shouldn't be drunk, obviously. That's something that's taught elsewhere very explicitly. But it's very clear here, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. When somebody is drunk, they're under the influence of what? The alcohol. That's why we call driving under the influence or driving while intoxicated. Intoxicated means under the influence. When you're drunk, you're under the influence of alcohol. You are not speaking, behaving, reacting, and responding like you normally would because you are not in control. I'm breaking new ground here, right? But we've never heard this before. But we need to be reminded of it the same way if you're smoking marijuana or snorting coke or whatever else. And then he says, but look, here's the flip in verse 18. But be filled with the Spirit. Don't be filled. Don't be under the influence of alcohol. But also understand that when you're drunk, you're under the influence of a foreign subject or a foreign body. But be filled with, controlled by the Spirit. So when we read in Ephesians 5:18, it's not like you pop the lid and pour the Spirit in. And then sometimes we kind of get... who knows, for whatever reason, we got the lid closed and the Spirit can't get poured in. If you are saved, you are indwelt by the Spirit. As Brother Thomas used to say, you have the whole download. You have all of the Spirit you're ever going to get or need. Amen. Amen that, because there are some who teach that you need to get a second dose of the ghost, a second blessing, or whatever else, when you do these different... That's not what the Scripture teaches. When you trust Christ as Lord and Savior, you get all of the Holy Spirit. And what we need to be is filled with the Spirit. And you said, well, Travis, you said I had him all. Yes, but are you under his influence? That's what Ephesians 5:18 is saying. Be under... That unseen hand that Ethan just saying about, you are a glove. I am a glove. And that unseen hand, I need to be submissive so that unseen hand is moving me in a direction that, and I'm following that direction and not spinning around and pushing against it. Does that make sense? Now, how do you know, Travis? I'm glad you asked. Here's how we know. If we're filled with the Spirit. Again, it's not mystical. It's not a feeling. It's not, you know, I saw this in the clouds and it let me know that I'm under the Spirit. No, here it is. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is an aspect of worship. People who love Christ love to worship Him. And then giving thanks always for all things and to God the Father in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then submitting yourselves one to another. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, or out of reverence for Christ. And then he even gets more specific when he talks about wives and husbands, and then in chapter 6, children and employers and employees. And that's what we see. But I wanted to lay that groundwork for you there. It's this is one aspect. A person who is submitting one to another is giving evidence that they are a spirit-filled individual. And we are to, out of reverence for Christ, submit to one another. And it looks like in an even more intimate relationships, wives submitting to their husbands in verse 22. In verse 25, husbands sacrificially loving their wives. And guys, you can say, well, that's not submission. Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's submitting my goals and my whatever else to for the benefit of my wife and my family. That's what sacrifice involves. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children are to submit to their parents. In obedience, we will see that obedience and submission are really parallel words. In Ephesians 6, 4, fathers are commanded to parent their children with sensitivity, not provoking them unto anger. That doesn't mean not drawing a hard line. That doesn't mean not making your kids toe the line. It means doing so in such a way as honors Christ. In verse 5, employees are to be submissive to their employers. In verse 9, employers are to treat their employees with fairness. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, let me just read that because I didn't have you turn over there. But Hebrews 13, 17 says, and he's talking to, it's a situation dealing with a local church. And he says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. See, those two words, obedience and submission, are used interchangeably. For they are those who have the rule over you, watch for your souls. As they that must give an account, not giving an account to you, but giving an account to God for how they've watched over your souls, that they may do it, watch over your souls, with joy and not grievously, because that is unprofitable for you. That is a clear command for church members to submit to their spiritual leaders, which is a reference to their pastor or pastors. And then in 1 Peter, where I had you look a little bit ago, 1 Peter, but back up from chapter 5 to chapter 2. And I'm not going to read all this, but we referenced it on our study on Wednesday nights. 1 Peter 2, verses 13 through 17, you could read that, not right now, but later. It's an expectation that Christian citizens submit to their lawful governments. And then, in chapter 5, where we were, verses 1 through 4 is a reminder to pastors that this is a reminder to me as a pastor that I am a servant leader. That doesn't mean that it's one or the other and pick one. It's a servant leader. Servant leaders lead and they serve, not one or the other. Well, I'm better at one. Well, you might be better at one, but you got to do both. A pastor is a servant leader, not a big boss. Y'all know what a big boss is? Well, a big boss is someone who likes to lord it over. You know, comes in, got his thumbs hooked in his belt loops, and comes strutting in and putting you in your quote-unquote place. Pastors are not to lord it over their congregation. It doesn't matter. You don't have to wear socks the way I do. You don't have to put the toilet paper roll on the inside or the outside like I do. You understand? Everybody knows that the toilet paper rolls from the outside, not from the inside. But you don't have to do it like I do. And then verse 5 reminds us that younger men should be submissive to their elders. Now, that's generally true. But don't forget the context, y'all. This is talking about specifically, the primary context is in a local church, specifically younger men who are serving under a pastor, but it's generally true as well. And I want you to notice the pattern here. In every human relationship, that's why I took the time to walk through that. In every human relationship, marriage relationship, parenting, within the church, within the workforce, whether one is in a position of authority or whether you are a subordinate. And we're not all in the same positions, right? A husband's not a father. A husband is not a wife, and a father is not a mother. And parents are not children, and children are not their parents. Church members are not the pastor, but a pastor is the pastor and a church member. But we have people who are in authority, and we have people who are in subordinate positions. But both, all of us, are to submit to one another. God desires for us to submit accordingly. And while the good and gracious command to submit one to another is frequently misunderstood, it nevertheless is biblical, completely biblical, and uniquely Christian. Uniquely Christian. Submission to authorities and by those in authority is distinctive of Christianity. Because in the lost world, or what the scriptures often refer to as, talking about the Gentiles, those who are in authority expect those who are subordinate to be submissive, but those in authority do not want to submit. And the only way that we could submit the way God's word is directing us to is by the power of the indwelling Spirit making it possible. Because with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Like submitting ourselves one to another. Generally speaking, in the non-Christian world, submission, I mean, it does happen, but it's forced, coerced, or contrived. So I'll submit to you if I get something out of it, or I'll submit to you because you've made me, or I'll submit to you because you're holding something over my head. But let's not forget that the flesh is proud, and the flesh always wants to assert itself, and submission is only possible in the life of one who is Spirit-filled. And that's why I read Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and following to you, because a Spirit-filled person, one who is under the influence of the Holy Spirit, is to be one who is submitting one to another in whatever context they need to do that. Now, as with everything, Christ came into the world, and he brought a whole new approach to relationships when he came into this world. In Mark chapter 10, I'm going to flip over there and read that to you. I think it's going to be on the screen behind me. But Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45, provide a glimpse of this whole new approach that Jesus brought with him. Now, in Mark 10, 42, which is what I'm getting ready to read, what Jesus' comments are following is an argument among his 12 apostles about who would be the greatest. These 12 guys are in the presence of Jesus, and they're arguing about who is considered the greatest. No submission. Do you think any of these 12 guys are going to submit to one of those? No way. They're constantly jockeying for a position. You got Simon the Zealot, who views Matthew, Levi, with a little suspicion because his politics are liberal, and Matthew views Simon Zelotes as just this crazy guy who's just way too zealous over his national identity. And you got these guys who were fishermen, and you got these other people who weren't. And of the fishermen, well, I'm the older, Peter said, and you know, I'm not submitting to you. You need to submit to me. I'm always the one who's out front. It's constantly going on, and we know that because they're arguing about who would be the greatest. They're arguing in other places about who will be seated on Christ's left hand and right hand in his coming kingdom. And Jesus says, you know not, in verse 42, that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. In other words, act like the big boss. And their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chief shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. This is the key verse of Mark. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And apart from Christ's influence, the idea of submitting one to another is non-existent. Because apart from Christ, man operates basically from selfish motives. So obedience and submission may be given, but motivated by the personal benefits that received as a result. And you know what that's like. If you've ever been in a position of authority, whether it's in a church, but let's be gracious and separate it from a church and say maybe at work or whatever else, and people just, you know, they'll do what you say, they're very polite, and they're nodding to your face because you're in a position of authority, but around your back, they are trying to cut your legs out from underneath you. And as soon as they do, and you're no longer in that position of authority, your name is now mud, as far as they're concerned. And that happens all the time. One of the things that they did in the Army was they would always move us when you come in together and you're all privates together, and then some of you are a specialist and some of you are private, but when one of you would get stripes on his arm, they usually moved you to an entirely different unit, if not a different company, because it's hard to lead the people that you were among. Because when you're in authority, you are in authority. And it's not easy. It's not. It never is in any context. Everybody wants to be the boss until they are. And if they do it well, they realize that it wasn't all it was cracked up to be. And that's why when it comes to things at home for Christians and at a church, we need to submit one to another. Not in just a selfish, ambitious way, but in a way that is following the pattern of Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So this is what we're called to do, to be humble and submit to each other in this way. And as with everything, Jesus was our example. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. But sadly, not all believers, including those who are in leadership, have the mind of Christ Jesus. Some believers, including leaders, use submission against their spouse or against fellow church members and others as a means of getting their own way or as a means of exalting themselves. But beloved, we need to understand that submission, listen to me, submission is not bondage. It's freedom. And a wife submitting to her husband and a husband sacrificing for his wife is not somehow being shackled, but it's being free to enjoy each other in that relationship in the way that God has intended for us to do it. Same way in a church or in a home or whatever else. I always tell young couples, or even not so young couples, however old the couple is that I'm counseling, that about this topic, that in a home, a wife submitting to her husband does not mean that she is simply a doormat, or that she indefinitely tolerates bad behavior. That's not submission. Biblical submission does not violate the personality that God has given an individual, specifically a woman in this context, but it calls for her to live out that personality to its fullest, as God intended, voluntarily submitting to her husband and thereby completing him. Same thing in any kind of relational context, obviously given there would be a few changes. And likewise, the husband who believes that biblical submission means his wife should do whatever he asks, whenever he asks, and without any feedback. And we often joke about that from pulpits, but there are way too many men in church world who think that submission means do whatever I ask, when I ask it, without feedback. And that kind of thought comes from a man who has a closed head, or an empty head and a closed Bible. That is not biblical submission. Just like if you were to follow my leadership in the church, based on, is it what this says? Not just because I says. Does that make sense? The biblical command of submitting one to another out of reverence for Christ is often misunderstood, is frequently misunderstood because it's not always clearly defined. And we'll land the plane right here. The Greek word translated submitting yourselves in Ephesians 5:21, and it's just one word. It's two words in English, but one word in the Greek, is hupotasso, submitting yourselves. And it means to arrange under, to obey, to submit to one's admonition or advice. And John MacArthur, in his commentary on Ephesians, says that it was originally a military term. This was a term that you would find in military situations. Because the main idea is that of relinquishing one's rights to another person. That's what's being communicated here. So the fact that this word was a military term is important because this is about submission to another because of that other's position of authority, not because of some perceived, inherent, or personal inferiority that you have to them. Does that make sense? We submit in these relationships not because the person to whom we are submitting is somehow superior, but because they hold a position of authority. Not every man that I served under in the military, and I only served under men, I was in combat arms, so I didn't have, there was never a female in the military who was in a position of authority over me, and I won't make any more comments about that. I'll just move on. But not every man that was a sergeant, first class, or a lieutenant, or a higher-ranking non-com or officer was somehow superior to me when it came to intellect or athletic ability, or you know, just pick a trait. But if you had more rank on your collar than I did, I submitted to your authority. Amen? That's how it works. That's how it's supposed to work. In that same commentary, John MacArthur said, a nation, and he used submitting to our governmental leaders as an example, a nation cannot function without the authority of its rulers, soldiers, police, judges, etc. Such people do not hold their authority because they are inherently better than everyone else, but because without the appointment and exercise of authority, the nation would disintegrate into anarchy. Beloved, we are called to joyfully and faithfully submit to the proper authority in every context of human interaction because God has designed the family a certain way, God has designed the local church a certain way, and God has designed human government. Now, I'm not going to regurgitate what I've talked about in our God, politics, and Bible Baptist. I'm not talking about just a certain kind of government, but government, period. And God has created those three institutions, the home, the local church, and human government, and he has set in those institutions a hierarchy of authority where there is to be submission that is going back and forth for the benefit of all involved. All are to manifest a spirit of submission based on authority, not some thought of inferiority or superiority. Has nothing to do with that. So in essence, submission is obedience. And the only one to whom we submit that is superior to us in every way is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've probably been around y'all long enough where you could figure out that I have a certain kind of personality and all those things. Personality doesn't equal gravitas. We don't submit to people because they look a certain way or sound a certain way or walk a certain way. You understand? We do because of the authority they have and how they handle that authority. And submission and obedience are essentially interchangeably used words in the scriptures. And I say that because of what we see over and over again, but also very clearly, and I read it to you, Hebrews 13, 17, which uses obey and submit in the same verse in that way. Submission is yielding to another's admonition and advice. And beloved, the person who is submissive is a person who is respectful, humble, honorable, and teachable. Not perfect, not always liking what they hear the first time or even the second time. But the person who is submissive is respectful, humble, honorable, and teachable. Those people are submissive. On the contrary, people who are defiant, proud, arrogant, stubborn, and unwilling to listen, and unteachable, are people who are not submissive. People who demand you to submit when they're in authority, but don't also submit whether they're not in authority or submit to those who are subordinate to them the way Scripture has defined, are not submissive people, are not humble people, are not people who are behaving in a way that honors the authority that they have. And this is true of all unbelievers to some degree, but it should not at all be the pattern followed by believers who become defiant, proud, arrogant, stubborn, and unwilling to listen to those who under whom God has placed them. I'm thinking a lot about Colossians right now, and I told you how Colossians and Ephesians overlap. In Acts chapter 20, in Acts chapter 20, Paul talks to the elders from the church at Ephesus. And you know how long, we talked this morning about how long he was there and how great a ministry was in that church and how it just spread out from there in such a powerful way. A 2020 vision for church ministry is made clear in Acts 20:20, where Paul says to those elders, those pastors, that's a biblical word for pastor. He says, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is, as the pastor of this church, and really in a lot of ways as the pastor of my family, but as a pastor of this church, this is my model. This is why I teach through the scriptures. This is why I want to promote, this is why we have things like Bibles and biscuits and ladies' Bible studies. This is why even when we talk about our budget, I'm going to open up the scriptures together. This is why I'm serious about the kind of music we sing. I'm not talking about a style of music, but a content of music. I'm much more concerned about content than I am any other thing. Because a pastor is to keep back nothing that is profitable unto you. And what is not profitable to you is my opinion. We could talk about my opinions in the lobby or down at Marcella's over coffee or wherever else. We can joke about those things, and we can talk about those things that are more serious. We can joke about the things that don't matter, like this, and we can talk about things that do matter that are more serious, which is just about anything but that. But when it comes to my authority as the pastor of this church, do you understand I have none apart from this? None. None of us do. And so that, and I preach repentance and faith because that's exactly what he said in verse 21. And then he goes on to say in verse 26, he goes, look, I'm on record. I'm in Acts 20:26. I'm kind of freebasing right here. I'm on record that I'm I'm pure from the blood of all men. In other words, I've got a clean conscience. And here's why. Because I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. I have poured my soul out preaching and practicing God's word before you, and I've got a clean conscience. And as God is my witness, Bible Baptist Church, that's my aim. That's my aim. And when I get off of that, when I get focused on things, you know, it eats me alive to see empty pews. I hate it. I think, and I think, why? And I can easily get focused on things that, while important, are not the main thing. And I've got to reorient myself right here. And you say, well, Travis, and I'll go out on a limb. And you say, well, Travis, I think you've done a fairly decent job on that. This is what has got to be our focus. And then we trust God with the rest of it. Amen? The souls being saved and the buttocks in the seats. We'll trust God with that, and we'll keep this our focus. And here's what's back of all that for me. Look at verse, well, you're not there, but verse 28 of Acts 20. I read this very personally. Take heed, therefore, Travis, unto yourself and to the flock, which is y'all, over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. That's a term for pastor, but you can tell that's a term that talks about leadership, right? Shepherds lead, by the way. They don't drive. I'm not a cattle driver, even though I love Texas and wear a hat and like to ride a horse. I'm not a cattle driver. I'm a sheep herder. I'm a shepherd. And there's all the difference in the world. And I'd rather eat beef than lamb. And that's a good thing, right? Take heed, Travis, unto yourself and to the flock, which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer, over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer, to feed Bible Baptist Church the Word of God, which He has purchased with His own blood. And then he goes on to warn us about threats from the outside, but the greatest threat, and it's in there, is from within. Beloved, Just go ahead, if you would, just stand. We're going to end differently than we normally do. I just want you to stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'm going to ask the musicians to come and play. We're not going to sing, though. We're just going to play. So y'all just come on ahead and play what was on the sheet. And with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, the idea of submission is frequently misunderstood. And because it's frequently misunderstood, it's routinely misapplied or neglected. And as members of this church, because this is the church to which I'm pastoring, that I pastor and preach, we need to make sure that we guard our hearts and submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so this is an opportunity for you right now to, right where you are at this altar, to pray. And to pray about how you serve in this church, how you follow your leadership in this church, how you lead in this church, how you submit to one another in your homes and in your workplaces. All to Jesus I surrender all. And that is a perfect hymn for submission. Thank you.